You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Hey KBOO listeners, Willamette Week is seeking nominations for their annual Best of Portland Readers Poll, and we need your help to show Portland what KBOO means to this community. From now through noon on Friday, April 25th, you can nominate us for Best Radio Station. Just head to kboo.fm and click the Best of Portland banner to submit your nomination. Thank you for supporting your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with luminaries in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, we don't normally have a lot of shows about politics per se, but at a time when democracy is under strain and political divisions run so deep, powerful interests are threatening the voices of everyday people. And the need for resistance and activism has never been greater. Standing up for justice, fairness, and the public good requires courage, persistence, and as today's guest would put it, chutzpah. Now, how can we do it? Let's stay tuned, because we are honored to welcome U.S. Senator Ron Wyden to discuss his new book, It Takes Chutzpah, How to Fight Fearlessly for Progressive Change. A longtime advocate for democracy, innovation, and justice, Senator Wyden shares insights from his personal journey and political career, highlighting the bold actions needed to create meaningful change. It's a great book, so stay with us right now for an inspiring conversation about leadership, resilience, and the power of standing up for what's right. Now, Ron Wyden, for those who could possibly not know, is a Democratic senator from Oregon, served in the U.S. House of Representatives in the early 80s. Oregonians and all attentive Americans know him as a senator who listens and innovates. He's the son of two refugees from Nazi Germany, was born in Wichita, and has lived in Chicago, St. Louis, and Washington, D.C., and is one of our two favorite senators here in the state of Oregon. So hello, Senator Wyden, and welcome to the Pathway Show.
Paul, what a treat, and we go back so long, so many good memories, and looking out, and Hawaii looks pretty sweet right now. We're fighting a lot of fights, though, that need to be waged.
Oh, for sure. And everything we're doing in Oregon is relevant to Hawaii, especially the environmental stuff. But I want to talk about your book. Your career is a fascinating story of a public servant with integrity. And it's a story that needs to be told. And I want to thank you for that. But why did you choose to publish your book, which is kind of a memoir, at this particular time?
Well, I do think that right now we need people who are really determined to stand up for progressive values. I mean, the reality is the history of the United States is all about people who were showing guts and determination and took on the odds. I mean, Abe Lincoln would be a perfect example. You know, nobody thought that you could make those breakthroughs in terms of racial justice. And by the way, chutzpah is really part of Oregon's DNA, because if you want a symbolic figure for chutzpah from Oregon, Steve Prefontaine, the gutsy kid from the South Coast, who nobody thought was going to be an athlete, he took on all the odds and became the face of modern racing. And it's a big reason we have that beautiful stadium in Eugene. So this
and
is
he's
America.
Not even, and he's not even Jewish. Or
that's
is
right. But you don't need to be Jewish to have chutzpah.
Okay.
Because chutzpah is being innovative and gritty and tough and determined. Yes, it was a Yiddish word, but it really has come to symbolize something much broader because it's the best in the United States. And I'll tell you, we saw some chutzpah just a few nights ago in the United States Senate. A big group of us decided that we were going to take Trump on his proposals and the Republicans in the Senate to cut Medicaid. And Medicaid is a lifeline for nursing home patients and sick kids and disabled folks. And we worked with groups all over Oregon and at the grassroots level, and we lost by only one vote, 50-49. But we wouldn't have gotten that close without a whole lot of activists in Oregon and all over the country speaking out and saying, look, it's not right to give tax breaks to billionaires and pay for it by cutting Medicaid and anti-hunger programs. And it took a lot of chutzpah to get as close as we did. And Paul, the news here tonight is we're going to come back because we've got a bunch of chances over what's called this reconciliation bill, where you're looking at a kind of overall approach to government, and we're going to win, and it's going to be a great victory for those who have chutzpah in their values.
You know, I want to talk about that, but before we do, I want to ask you, how much does the rise of oligarchy and fascism in America remind you of your parents' decision to leave Germany behind in the 1930s, and in a situation now where lots of Americans are wanting to move abroad?
Paul, I think about it all the time. And, you know, my dad was 13. You know, he left, Germany. He talked his way into the army. He's one of the legendary Ritchie boys, the German, kids who taught themselves English and dropped the propaganda pamphlets on the Nazis telling them to give up. And my wife and I are older, parents, and we have a 12-year-old, and I think often of her, what would it be like if authoritarians took over the United States and she had to leave the United States just the way her late grandfather did to leave Germany and come to the United States? So these values that we're fighting for, liberty and freedom, and the kinds of values that my dad showed when he said, we're not going to, tolerate what's going on in Nazi Germany. We're going to beat Hitler. And I want my daughter not to have to go through what he did.
Well, the story is unbelievable. I mean, in the 30s in Germany, if you were Jewish and you wanted to leave, you had to give up everything and just, in order to be allowed to leave the country. What a difficult choice, and people were saying the same things they're saying now. You know, he can't possibly be serious. He can't possibly mean what he says. So I have so much compassion for what's going on right now. Okay, so, all right, I want to ask you this, Ron, because virtually all Republicans and even progressive politicians, except for Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez, seem to be afraid to actively resist against Trump and Musk. Why is that?
Well, I think let's take the Republicans first. The Republicans are always worried about getting into a primary. They always think that anybody who takes on Trump's going to have a primary, and there's reason to it. But there's no excuse for Democrats. And one of the things that I've tried to do at the Finance Committee is show that you've got to have chutzpah on the biggest issues, and particularly taking on the billionaires. I mean, the reality is, Paul, every working person pays taxes with every paycheck. You can see it right there on your pay stub, the FICA. It's what you have to pay with every check. But the billionaires, if they've got good lawyers and accountants, to a great extent, they can pay little or no taxes for years on end, and it only involves three words: buy stuff, borrow against it, and die. You buy, borrow, and die, you can pay little or nothing in income taxes for years on end. I propose closing that loophole, and that's one of the fundamental things that ought to be done. And particularly if somebody tries, as the Trump people are saying, to say that we cut housing and anti-hunger and Medicaid in order to give tax breaks, for billionaires, that's where I draw the line. And say, you got to have some chutzpah, and you got to take him on, and that's what I'm leading.
Okay, I really appreciate that, but it to me, as a, I don't know how objective I am, but I'm an observer, it seems that chutzpah has been commandeered by the right, and that's what you call in your book negative chutzpah. And I'm not seeing a lot of it coming from the progressive side of the spectrum.
Well, let's walk it through a little bit. You know, chutzpah is inherently good, but somebody like Donald Trump can warp it or misappropriate it. And I'll tell you, in the last week, 10 days, I'm seeing a lot of fight. And I'm telling you, at my town hall meetings, I was in Sisters, for example, 10 days or so ago, we had 1,400 people, place was packed, and everybody was on message and talking about things where you could stand up and help. And we're actually taking them on. And you probably heard in Wisconsin, you know, what's his name, Musk, went in there with his chainsaw and all the rest. We beat Musk and we beat Trump in that Wisconsin election that was so essential to a woman's right to choose. And there were a lot of people who basically went in, went on the ground, knocked on the doors, did all the grassroots work, and we won.
Well, that's fantastic. And you are all about grassroots activism, and that's what your book is supporting. But is citizen...
Paul, just on that point, I feel really strongly that political change rarely starts at the top and then trickles down. It's almost always just the opposite. It starts at the grassroots level and moves up as people hear about it and they learn about it and they want to help and they want to pitch in and they want to make calls and texts and all the rest. And that's what happened in Wisconsin and why we beat Trump and Musk there.
You know, progressive voters like myself are frustrated by what seems to be a lack of opposition leadership in response to this blitzkrieg of destruction to our government, our alliances, our economy, our rule of law, our way of life. You know, other than Bernie and Ocasio and you, I mean, who the hell is speaking out? I mean, shouldn't we be trying to impeach Trump every single day?
I can tell you that the big issues, you've got to say, we're not just going to pass on this fight against a bully, because that's ultimately what Trump is. And you probably heard about the budget thing, what was called the continuing resolution.
Right.
And it was a tough, you know, call, because people said, oh, well, Trump is going to shut the thing down and, you know, that'll give him some leverage. And I said, guys, you cannot give a bully a pass. And I voted against the procedure to go to the continuing resolution. I voted against the whole thing. I said, we're going to fight a bully every step of the way. And here in the last 10 or 15 minutes, we've mentioned, you know, reining in the ripoff tax breaks for billionaires, making sure Medicaid is covered, housing and shelter. These are the kinds of things you measure a career in public service. And that's what is it's all about for KBOO over the years, too.
Exactly. So how do we link something like a concept like the wealth tax to prosperity for the working class? I don't see that package being spelled out.
Let me tell you how I do it, Paul. I say, look, I want everybody in America to get ahead. I think it's great that people, you know, make money. Good for them, bully for them. But you can't have a double standard. You
right.
can't say that the working guy pays taxes with every paycheck and the billionaire goes for years and years paying nothing. Everybody has got to pay their fair share. And we got to say that what makes America special is that we have this kind of connective tissue, which are programs like Social Security. You know, Social Security, Paul, is under attack right now. It's under siege from Trump and Doge. And I'm the guy who's basically handling that one as well at the Finance Committee.
Right. Well, thank God for that. You know, I wonder whether you think, I mean, some political observers hope that Trump single-handedly inflicting deep financial pain on the world might break the spell amongst his most ardent supporters. What do you think?
Well, I think he's already begun to do that on this tariff issue. You know, he told everybody in his campaign, remember, he stood in that grocery store. He said, I'm going to lower your grocery prices and your egg prices and all the rest. He took a pass on that sucker about 10 days, you know, in. And now these tariffs are just clobbering, you know, typical people. You know, a typical person calls me up and says, Ron, come see my 401k since Trump went on this goofball kind of thing of, you know, tariffs. And I think a bunch of his supporters, Paul, are already coming around and saying, hey, we weren't promised this in the election and we don't want it.
Right. I hope so. You know, because so many Americans feel disillusioned by political gridlock. And so what is your advice? How do we stay motivated? I think what we need is leadership. We need more people like you who are willing to exhibit chutzpah and speak out, call Trump a fraud, call him a con man, you know, call him out. And nobody's calling him out. Everybody's afraid to call him out. I don't get it.
Well, I'm telling you, I've called him out on the billionaire issue, on the Medicaid issue, on the climate change issue. You know, he's trying to gut the clean energy tax credits that I wrote. This is the approach that's technologically neutral. Science community loves it because nobody knows what the big carbon reducers are going to be 30 years from now. And I developed something that encourages it. So call him out on fossil fuel lobbies, call him out on, you know, opposing Medicaid, call him out on billionaires getting free rides. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but he's doing these blatantly unconstitutional things. He's suspending the Constitution in order to declare a fake emergency, in order to, like, have dictatorial powers. Isn't that impeachable?
And we've got to push back on that. And that's why I'm so pleased that we finally seen some cracks in his agenda. That's what we saw in the Wisconsin, you know, issue. This isn't going to be for the faint-hearted. This was a very, very hard election result to swallow. But you got to do it. You got to move on. And then you got to work. And the Oregon way is we've been able to do some amazing things over the years if we dig in and go after it.
Oregon is awesome. I love Oregon, even though I live in Hawaii half the time.
We're going to get you back more.
Oregon is my home. But I want to remind you of Wayne Morse. He was like a mentor of yours. He was incredible. I mean, he was...
One of two who voted against the Vietnam War.
I know. Incredible courage. And so he went from being a Republican to becoming an independent. Can you convince Susan Collins and other Lisa Murkowski, you know, can you convince them to do the same thing, Ron?
Well, at 4 o'clock in the morning a few days ago, both Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins voted for my amendment to get rid of this anti-Medicaid agenda of Donald Trump. Both of them were there. We lost by only one vote. In fact, one of the votes that we didn't get that we thought we might get would be Lisa Murkowski's other partner there in Alaska, Dan Sullivan. But we're going to be back. I mean, the fact was on that, Paul, the grassroots really did its work. They delivered all across the country. There were people making calls and sending texts and doing the grassroots work. We lost by one vote. And I'm telling you, we win on that. And that is crushing to the Trump approach that they can't prevail on something like that. And that's why they spent so much money and time on trying to roll back Medicaid.
You lost by one vote, though.
We lost by one. It was our first big vote since he was sworn in on this issue. And yeah, I thought we were going to get it. I thought we were going to win it by one, and it was hard to swallow. But we're going to be back, and we're going to win.
Okay, so losing by one vote makes you feel optimistic.
It makes me feel that we've started to crack his strategy. He didn't expect that. And now we're after it, and we're going to stay at it till we win.
Okay. Now, does it look obvious to you that they are claiming massive fraud in the Social Security system and Medicaid, just like they've done with voting, in order to dismantle entitlements?
And yes.
Can you put this whole philosophy in perspective?
Yeah. Well, let's start at, it's like an Alice Wonderland. Let's begin at the beginning. First of all, Social Security has an efficiency rate of getting the right amount at the right time to people that is over 99%. So this is a lie. I'm using those words specifically, lie, and you've probably seen Trump and Musk say people, you know, over 100 years older walking away with all this Social Security. Also, untrue, proven by the agency itself. And, you know, the reality is we're making the fight, you know, now. I believe we're gonna win. And what they wanna do, Paul, is they want to hollow out the current Social Security program in terms of personnel and facilities and the like, because if they can hollow out the government functions, people will say, oh my goodness, we got to get the checks. And they go, let's get some private contractors. And so that is their strategy,
obvious
privatization. And I'm leading that fight as well to stop them from privatizing Social Security.
Yeah, but how do we get this message across to the dim-witted American voter? It's unbelievable.
Well, the 1,400 people who came into the gymnasium in Sisters, that's exactly what they said. We're leaving. We're going to get out of this warm gym. We're going to call up our friends at AARP and other states and tell them. We just heard from our senator talking about this. He's taking a lead on the Social Security issue. And they went out and made calls, and it's making a difference.
You know, there was an article in The Atlantic that I just read about how what the Democrats need to do. The American people want to make money. Everybody wants to make money. You know, one of the things I love about being an Oregonian is we have two senators who are the least corruptible people I've ever met, you and Jeff Merkley. It's like, I'm so appreciative of your public service. I just want to put that
Thank
up.
You.
But, you know, most people don't think like that. Most people think, oh, they're all corrupt and it's et cetera. How do we convince the right, you know, all these people who don't read books, they watch Fox News, how do we reach these people to let them know that that government can do good things?
I think the big thing is getting them come out and be part of this discussion that I call the open to all town hall meeting. I've had more than 1,100 of them, Paul, in my time representing Oregon in the United States Senate. Nobody ever did that before, ever. You know, and I started, and Jeff, to his credit, picked up on it, and we both do that. And I think that once you're out in the open where there's sunlight, there is a transparency and accountability and a kind of learning about issues, it's good. So I tell our friends, if you're coming to one of my town meetings, great. Bring one of your friends who's never been to a town meeting and say, hey, come on by and see this and let's show you about kind of the way it works. And sometimes they do, and it works, it's helpful.
Right. Well, you know, back in the old days in the Reagan era, they dismantled the fairness in broadcasting principle. And so ever since then, we've had this like hyper-partisan media divide. And now, you know, the people who own the Washington Post or other liberal outlets are kissing up to Trump. I'm really afraid about that because when I know people who watch Fox News, 73% of Republicans think that Trump's tariffs are a good idea. That is so totally alarming to me. These people are only watching Fox News. It's like Pravda. How do we get past this post-truth propaganda?
Well, I think the real key is to get people out for a genuine discussion. But the big difference between Trump 1 and Trump 2, Paul, is during that period between 1 and 2, Trump and his allies, the people on the right, went out and bought a tremendous number of communications assets. You know, they bought platforms and TV stations and papers and websites and all the rest. Yeah. But there's more of us than there are of them. So what we got to do, as I say, is recognize that the political change is grassroots, you know, up. And if you can, I tell people literally, if you can ask a friend to join us for one of our discussions who's never done it before, just one, you begin to unravel this incredible problem, you know, where the cement that's blocking you is all their, you know, media outlets, and people are coming to a real discussion so they can hear about what's going on when they haven't before.
Now, looking ahead, what policies do you think will define the next decade of progressive change? And what strategies will be necessary to achieve them?
Well, I want an economic system that gives everybody a chance to get ahead. That's fundamental to to my vision of what needs to be done. I want healthcare to be a basic human right. We're spending more than $4 trillion a year, and you know, for that amount of money, you should be able to get a good, affordable healthcare package. So healthcare taxes, I want to make sure that the treasures that we've gotten, I'm looking behind you at the wonderful, you know, green is part of what you've been able to have there in Hawaii. I want us to protect our treasures. We live in Southeast Portland. Not far from our house is Lentz. And on a hot day, Lentz doesn't have any tree shade. I want to change that. So healthcare, taxes, climate, educational opportunity. I want lifelong education. Those four things would be part of what I think makes for a real commitment to values that give everybody a chance to get ahead.
You know, you mentioned the Lentz community in that neighborhood in Portland. It just makes me want to just put out some love for you and Jeff Merkley. And you both live in Southeast Portland. You have not, like, taken advantage of the system. You guys are the model of public service in the highest echelons of American government. And I just want to give you some love for that, Ron.
Oh, you're not. Jeff's doing an outstanding job. Jeff's on the Appropriations Committee. I'm on the Finance Committee. We team up together on a lot of issues. And look, because they're pushing me out the door, we're juggling a little bit today. I don't pretend to have all the answers, Paul, not by a long shot. But what I do know is that Oregon values are the values of chutzpah, grit, determination, standing up for the right thing, beating the odds. I think it is kind of in our DNA in Oregon. So I am so honored to represent Oregon in the United States Senate. And, you know, in this book, I didn't want to write your typical story from a senator, which is basically a lot of bragging about themselves, then telling everybody they're being urged to run for president, but, oh, we don't know if we're going to do it, and then telling everybody to go to their fundraising machine. I wanted to tell a story about how chutzpah has made Oregon special, has made our country special, and, God, we need it now more than ever, and that's what I'm trying to bring to the Senate.
Okay, so if there's one thing you could leave listeners with, one key takeaway from your book, it takes chutzpah, which everybody should buy immediately. What is something that could inspire them to take action? What would it be?
Well, I hope they'll look at somebody like myself. And, you know, I didn't come from a, you know, a wealthy family or a special, you know, background. I had a chance to do public service before I even thought about anything in Congress. I was co-director of the Oregon Gray Panthers for about 7 years. And I tell everybody, if it moves you, to kind of follow that example. Maybe it's something that the city or the state or the private sector, but get involved and look to make Oregon even better as a place. We're a wonderful place already. We can do more.
Well, Ron, I wish we had more time. I mean, it's been so great to explore with you. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.wyden.senate.gov. And for those who may have tuned into Pathways late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, don't worry. You can play or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Senator Ron Wyden, author of the new book, It Takes Chutzpah, How to Fight Fearlessly for Progressive Change. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Pathways, which is broadcast on KBOO.FM. And you can always listen to the podcast version for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, as well as on Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel and other free podcast servers. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And feel.
I'm giving you a thumbs up.
Thank you so much, my friend. Well, anyway, this is Paulo bidding you all adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcast. And thanks again to Senator Ron Wyden, a personal hero of mine, and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways Conference.
KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Bye-bye.
Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
Tune in on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. for Winner's Bias, a new show exploring the culture around